let's start with a couple of readings. Like I said, one of them is going to be the Pentecost story from Acts, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. I am, in honor of my mom, reading from the New Living Translation. That was her favorite one when I was growing up. So we'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And this is the verse, like the Sunday of the year, that every minister kind of dreads, because you know you have to read through the list of all these different languages. And I used to get really scared and tongue-tied, and then I realized, y'all don't know what these names are. I can say anything I want. And you'll go, oh, okay, that must be right. I'm not nearly as nervous about it as I used to be. All right, here now these words. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit had given them the ability. And at that time, there were many devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. They don't know the people I know. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, Joel said, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. May we add meaning and understanding to the reading of these words. Y'all should get a seat. Come on in.
That was long.
Somebody hit the mic. You keep the call me cute. I was the one up here trying to stumble through all those names. And also, just a short reading from Dr. Martin Luther King's letter from Birmingham Jail, where he says, come on in.
I love you guys. Just say
hi. From his letter from the Birmingham Jail. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds. Then a question of song.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
I'm going to play I Love You, Lord by Lori Klein.
Peace out.
come up.
Absolutely gorgeous. Again, we welcome David Michael Cray here. If you want to learn more about him and his music, you can go to davidmichaelcray.com. Lots there. He's also brought a few albums and a sign-up sheet. You want to say anything more about that right now?
I have a digital album that you can get for free on my website, or you can sign up here. And then my second album is also for sale here, and we've got Musical Relief and a Pinch bumper sticker. I think it is Crayfish.
That's very cool. Well, we're thrilled you're here. That was absolutely gorgeous. I do want to share with you my message today, my Pentecost message, entitled "When Love Refused the Borders." So, some stories in Scripture have been so domesticated, so thoroughly, that we barely even notice how disruptive, really, they are anymore. Pentecost is one of those stories. For a lot of churches, it's become, you know, the celebration of the church's birthday. Wear red, put flames on the bulletin boards, maybe sing something upbeat, vaguely spirit-related. And there's nothing really wrong with that. But the more that I consider the Pentecost story that we just heard from the book of Acts, the less I believe that it was ever meant to be something, that the story of the birthday was something we were ever meant to take away from it. The way I've come to read this story, if we're honest, in Acts 2, well, it's not tidy and happy enough to fit comfortably into a birthday party thing. If anything, thinking of it as the first birthday of the church, well, it rips away its power and how unorthodox this story really, truly is. See, Pentecost is loud, it's chaotic, it's emotionally charged, it's politically dangerous. Which means it might be one of the most honest stories in the Bible. Because real transformation rarely arrives looking all polished. Real transformation usually shows up breathing hard, speaking a little too loudly, and making people a bit uncomfortable. See, this story, it actually begins with fear in a very much the way the birthdays don't. The disciples, they're gathered together behind closed doors after the execution the execution of Jesus. And Rome still holds all the power here. Religious authorities are still dangerous at this point. Public association with Jesus is still very risky business for them. And they're not gathered because they are brave. They're gathered because they're afraid. Then comes this sound. Acts describes it as a violent, rushing wind filling the whole house. Not a gentle breeze, not a peaceful whisper, a violent wind. Then fire, then voices, then people speaking in languages they never learned. That sounds like some birthday party, right? And here is where a lot of modern theology has helped me deepen the story for myself. The miracle, I think, is not that everyone suddenly speaks the same language. The miracle is that everyone hears in their own language. See, that's an entirely different thing. Rome depended on hierarchy and conformity and control. Empires always do depend on those things. One culture rises to the top, one group gets to define what is normal, and everyone else is expected to adapt if they want dignity, if they want safety, if they want belonging. But the Spirit in Acts does not erase differences. The Spirit speaks through the differences. Parthians hear one thing, Medes hear another. Egyptians. I said Parthian, Medes with no problem. And then I said Egyptians. Egyptians hear another. People from all over the known world hear the messages being delivered in the language that's closest to their own lives. The Spirit doesn't demand assimilation before offering a connection. And I have to say, that feels pretty important right now. Because so much in this world, today, it still runs on the assumption that people have to become more acceptable before they deserve to be heard. Talk correctly, dress correctly, believe correctly, love correctly, behave correctly. Only then can you belong. Pentecost says otherwise. Pentecost says love speaks first. Before anybody cleans themselves up, before doctrine gets sanitized, before institution builds walls around belonging, the Spirit moves first. And when it does, the people who were expected to remain quiet, they suddenly become impossible to ignore. And then Peter reaches back to the prophet Joel to explain to them what is happening. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young people will see visions. Even enslaved people will receive the Spirit. Yeah, that was radical language back then. Honestly, it still is. Because Pentecost is not simply about spiritual experience. It's about authority shifting. See, the people who were supposed to stay on the edges in this story suddenly find themselves in the center of this story. And the systems built on control, well, they don't usually respond well when that kind of thing happens. They didn't then, they don't now. Whenever excluded people begin speaking publicly about justice and dignity and equality, somebody inevitably reacts with discomfort. Too emotional, too loud, too disruptive, too political. Well, Acts 2 says the crowd looked at the disciples and accused them of being drunk. Now, I have to say, that detail has actually always sort of fascinated me. I've thought about it a lot. My interpretation is simply this. Apparently, Spirit-filled liberation could look irrational to people deeply invested in maintaining the status quo. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe that still happens today. I'm pretty sure it does. Maybe every movement towards justice initially sounds like chaos to those who benefit from things staying exactly how they are. Maybe that is why Pentecost still matters, actually, because we are living in a moment when fear keeps trying to lock all the doors again. Fear of immigrants, fear of queer people, fear of people who think differently, fear of losing power, fear of social change, fear of telling the truth out loud. In our world, fear has become profitable. Political movements fundraise on it. News networks monetize it. Religious leaders frequently are found baptizing it. But the Spirit in Acts does not seem especially interested in protecting frightening systems. The Spirit blows the doors open anyway. Maybe that's the real miracle of Pentecost, not the supernatural speech. Maybe it's the supernatural courage. The courage to stop speaking the language the empire keeps trying to teach us. The courage to stop calling cruelty strength. The courage to stop excluding people's faithfulness. The courage to stop pretending silence is neutrality when silence is actually just continuing to keep protecting harm. See, the disciples do not suddenly become certain people in Acts 2. They become courageous people. And there's a difference. I think that a lot of us were probably taught that faith is mostly, ultimately, about certainty. Having the right answers, defending the correct doctrine, eliminating doubt. But Pentecost doesn't produce certainty. Pentecost produces movement. The disciples still do not fully understand what comes next. The future for them remains unclear. Rome still exists, danger still exists, but somehow they step outside anyway. That matters to me because I know a lot of people right now who are exhausted, right? People trying to just hold on to hope while watching the world grow harsher and harsher. People carrying anxiety that never fully quiets down. I took my pills just before I came down here. People wondering whether compassion still has any real power in a culture increasingly shaped by outrage, shaped by cruelty. It's tempting in moments like this to just sort of retreat inward like the disciples initially did, to mostly lock the doors, to shrink our lives down, to just survive. But Pentecost reminds us that the Spirit does not stay inside locked rooms for very long. See, love has to keep moving, even when people are afraid, and maybe especially when people are afraid. So, I want us to take a moment together. And I promise you, it's only going to be one time today. Turn to somebody near you. And maybe somebody, it could be somebody you don't really know at all. And answer this question. I'm going to give you about a minute a person. What is one truth about yourself or your faith or the world? One truth about yourself, your faith, or the world that you are learning to say out loud now that you're learning to say out loud now that at one point you were afraid to say out loud? What's the one thing about you, your faith, the world that you're learning to say out loud that there was a time when you were afraid to say it out loud? Take a moment, think about it, then share together. I'll give you about 2 minutes total. The truth about you, your faith, or the world that you're learning to talk about. You didn't use to feel comfortable talking. Let's wrap up this conversation. Thank you all for indulging me in doing that. I appreciate it very much. I hope you probably, if you overheard other folks, you probably noticed something that nobody in this room probably answered in exactly the same way, right? Different stories, different fears, different experiences, different languages. And yet, connection still happened. We heard it. That, what you just experienced, that's Pentecost. Not the sameness, but the connection across the differences, the connection across the fears. Not forced arrangement, just shared humanity, right? That's Pentecost. That is the Pentecost story, y'all. The church has often spent enormous energy trying to make everybody around, everyone within it, the same. Well, Pentecost moves in exactly the opposite direction. Pentecost moves in the opposite direction. It trusts that the Spirit can still speak through human diversity. And actually, Pentecost seems to sort of depend on that. And honestly, that does. It gives me hope. Because maybe the future of faith is not about building tighter boundaries. Maybe it's about learning how to hear one another again. They do hear. I think that's why the hearing in other languages is so much more important than the speaking of other languages. They learn to hear the differences and understand them and appreciate them again. Maybe the Spirit is still showing up anytime that people choose to understand other folks over domination. Maybe Pentecost happens whenever truth breaks through propaganda. Maybe Pentecost still happens whenever someone chooses compassion in a culture built on contempt. Maybe Pentecost still happens whenever love crosses a border that people insisted could never be crossed. The fire of Pentecost was never meant to stay inside of a sanctuary or inside of a room. It was always meant to move out to the streets. It was always supposed to move into the streets, into public life, into justice work, into compassion, into courage, into communities where nobody is disposable. The Spirit descended on ordinary, frightened people and turned them into a movement. Maybe that's still happening. Maybe the work of Pentecost is not finished yet, y'all. And maybe love still refuses to speak the empire's language.
Mm-hmm. Dave, replay as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Thank you again. Just always, I could just sit there and keep listening. Thank you for that. We enter into a time that is our time for prayer, but also you can consider it a meditation or just a moment to breathe in and breathe out and grab hold of the words that you need right now. But let's do bow our heads together. Somewhere along the way, we learned to fear difference. We built walls, named strangers, ranked human beings, and called the whole mess order. But Pentecost keeps interrupting us. The Spirit keeps showing up in voices we were taught not to trust, in stories we do not fully understand, in people empire told us to fear. And truths that make comfortable religion nervous. So today, may we stop asking love to make everybody the same. May we instead become people brave enough to listen. When fear tells us to lock the doors, may the Spirit throw the windows open. When propaganda teaches us to speak the language of contempt, may we relearn the language of compassion. When systems demand silence from historically excluded people, may we become people who make room for every sacred voice to rise. And when we are tempted to retreat into cynicism or exhaustion, remind us that Pentecost was never about perfect certainty. It's about courage. Courage to step outside. Courage to speak truth. Courage to build communities where nobody must earn their belonging. May the fire of love burn always and away. And may it burn away our indifferences, our tribalism, our addiction to to being right and our fear of one another. And may what remains be a people who know how to practice justice, shared hope, tell truth, and keep widening the circle, especially now. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet. You do one more song, and then we're going to go offline here.
And then do his
later.
Okay.
Let's go. Thank you.